So we're in Deuteronomy chapter 5 this week, beginning in verse 12. And this is what God's word says. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male servant, or your female servant, or your ox, or your donkey, or any of your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you, so that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. This is the word of the Lord. Now, if we talk about the different elements of the Ten Commandments, the first commandment was all about what you're to worship. There's one God that we're to worship, and only one. And the second commandment says he has very specific ideas about how he should be worshiped. Specifically in that commandment, don't make any images of him. He is the God that is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we don't paint images of God and bow down to him. Even if we say we're worshiping this God, he says, I don't want to be worshiped that way. Third commandment said, his name is great. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. So we're to reverence his name. And then we get to the fourth commandment. What more could he be adding about worshiping him and having him as our God than we've already said? Well, he says, honor me with the Sabbath day. So it makes perfect sense. If you think about the things that are important to you, there are a lot of things important to us in life, things that should be. If I were to ask you what's important in life, you might say, my family. Every time we have Thanksgiving service or something, I say, what are you thankful for? I'm thankful for my family, says that kid that's always kicking against his parents and being awful and rude. Me, I'm grateful for my family. Okay. Good. Make your family grateful for you. Family's important. That's a big blessing that we have. When I think of family, I also think of really parents where you're, where your heart lives and dies oftentimes is money. Money's important. Not ultimately important, but every time my car makes a new noise, I gotta lean a little harder on my religion. You know what I mean? Like, I have to trust God with this expense, and I feel that in my bones, right? We feel the need for money. When we're in danger, for example, like this morning, we have a family that's on the vigil watching a parent die. We feel at that moment the importance of our family. We feel it in our gut because we're about to lose them. When we said goodbye to one of our children who went to college, I felt, whoa. Remember that? That was awful. But she keeps coming back for vacation, so. But you feel these, the money thing. Well, I wanted you to consider a resource of time. The reason I felt so bad when we left her at college was it felt like I was out of time. And in a real way, I am, and I can't get that time back. 18 years I had my chance. And now she's gone, she's got to be okay, you know. Time is exceedingly important, and we do feel that all the time, don't we? You wake up a little bit late. You oversleep. What does that do with your morning? Because you don't have enough time. When you go to bed at night, exhausted, but there's still things on your list that you haven't done. Feel time. And so when God gives us 10 ways that we're to worship and honor him and love him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, when he gives us the big 10, he includes time. Because he knows, you know, we're idolaters when it comes to money. we're idolaters when it comes to time. How's your prayer life? I just don't have time, you know? So in the shower, I pray. Or when I'm sick, I have time to pray. But we don't make time for God. And so he says, reserve it. Because we really do need it. How does it work for you when you study organic chemistry while you're walking to class? Flipping through note cards, and you're not going to learn it that way. Okay, I don't read emails while I'm driving. For a lot of reasons. You're not going to absorb things. When you multitask, there is no such thing as multitasking. I can multitask. You cannot multitask. You can just switch quickly from one thing to the other and back again, but people who study these things tell us you really can only focus on one thing at a time. Well, so God says, clear your schedule. You got 6 days to do your work. One day, me. And then there will be residuals throughout the week. He's not saying don't pay attention to him the rest of the week, but you need a day to rest. The Sabbath is an important commandment. It's part of the moral law and is given even before he gave the Ten Commandments. Remember, the Israelites were on their way to Sinai. They hadn't gotten the Ten Commandments yet, but God gave them the manna. Remember, the bread was all over the ground, and he said, 6 days, go out and collect. On the sixth day, he said, I'll give you enough for 2 days. Of course, you remember what happened. Some people went out on the seventh day trying to collect. And he was angry with them. How long will these people not believe me? They didn't have faith in him. They didn't trust him. And so they thought they couldn't, on that sixth day, they got some, they ate it all up. And then the seventh day, we need food. And then what does he say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So even before the Ten Commandments, he gave us a Sabbath. In fact, we call the Sabbath a creation ordinance. Write that down. Creation ordinance. Say creation ordinance. Creation ordinance. Thank you. What does that mean? That means at creation, he made the Sabbath. So when he makes man, male and female, in his image, he blesses them and says, be fruitful and multiply. Okay? He's never revoked that, by the way, no matter what people say. But it's a creation ordinance. It's also a creation ordinance. When he finishes creation and he rests, he blesses the Sabbath day. Because in it, he was finished with his work of creation. And then from now on, he says that his image bearers, that's us, you and I, made in him as his image, are also to keep the Sabbath holy. So it's a creation ordinance. It comes before any other covenant that he makes, aside from the covenant of life. You know, in the day that you eat of it, you surely die. He made that covenant. Before that, there was a Sabbath. So it's over everything. It's part of just what life is if you're a human being. You can be a Christian. You can be Jewish, Muslim. You can be atheist. It doesn't matter what you are, where you are, what you're upbringing. You need a Sabbath. You're under the Sabbath rule because you live in creation. You need vitamin D. You need a Sabbath. You need to eat. You need a Sabbath. Because that's the world into which you were made. And the Sabbath was made, Jesus says, for you. You weren't made for it, to serve it artificially, but it's part of what you need. So, what is the commandment? It's a positive commandment. Every other commandment has been don't. Don't ever. This commandment is essentially always do. It's the first commandment to men of action. All right, I know what I'm not supposed to do. It's easy for me to sit back and not do anything. What am I supposed to do? He says, work for 6 days and take a day off. Observe the Sabbath day. Or in Exodus, remember the Sabbath day. It's an important commandment, and we need it. And if you think about why do we know that it's important? Because it's one of the commands in the Old Testament that you kill people for. So a lot of Old Testament violations are punishable by death. Consider the rest of the list. So there's kidnapping. You can put somebody to death because they steal from somebody. In ancient Israel, this was a law. If someone kidnaps somebody, you're to put them to death. Adultery. You can put the adulterer to death. Murder. You can put the murderer to death. Rebellion against parents. It's a capital offense in ancient Israel. Blasphemy, idolatry, fornication, bestiality. We might not think all of those crimes are worthy of death. I mean, disobeying parents, none of us would make it past like two, depending on when you count. Okay, we might not think that every one of these crimes is worthy of capital punishment, but we don't look at any of those crimes and think, okay, it's not a big deal anymore. Right? But Christians do that with the Sabbath. But look at the company it keeps. Terrible, terrible sins that you don't want to have characterize your society are lumped in with Sabbath breaking. So at the very least, we should say, taking the day is important. It's a good thing. Christians will sometimes say, the Sabbath has been fulfilled in Christ. The Apostle Paul said that. That's true. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Sabbath. He is our Sabbath rest. But remember that Jesus also says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill the law and the prophets. So nobody reading that says, aha, now at last I can worship other gods. Now I can kill whoever I like and be unfaithful to my wife, because Jesus has fulfilled the law and the prophets. He's the fulfillment. So I don't have to abide by it. We don't do that, do we? Right, okay. This side says no, we don't do that. He's the fulfillment, but it doesn't mean that those laws suddenly don't exist anymore. It doesn't mean that God suddenly doesn't care how we act or what we do, right? No. He is the fulfillment of our Sabbath rest, but even the book of Hebrews says there remains a Sabbath rest, and we want to enter it. It's still ahead of us. And so there's still an element of this of Sabbath keeping that looks ahead. We take a day so we can meditate on the hope that we have in Christ. We can rest so that we can look forward to that permanent rest. Reading any of the New Testament will convince us that we are all still to uphold and abide by God's moral law. And those who stubbornly resist are eventually even cut off from the church. So let's not take the Sabbath and say, since Jesus fulfilled it, it doesn't exist. Okay? Now, there are objections to the Sabbath that are made by Sabbath keeping, that are made by Christians that I quote often, and I disagree with some of them. St. Augustine, I'm told, I haven't read this myself, but I'm told, Augustine didn't believe there was any such thing anymore. He was the extreme camp. It doesn't exist anymore. Don't keep the Sabbath. If you keep the Sabbath, you're trusting in your works and you're not a Christian. That's what I'm told Augustine said. Others are not quite as stout. Well, and we should stay. Okay, step back. What's today?
is it Sunday, the Lord's Day, or the Sabbath? Yeah, okay. It's the Christian Sabbath. It's not really a Sabbath because the Sabbath is the saddest. The seventh day is Saturday. What are we doing here on the first day? Well, the New Testament is pretty silent on the actual Sabbath. It calls it the Lord's Day, and it's on Sunday because the first day of the week, Jesus rose from the dead. And from Jesus' resurrection until the end of the world, then, Christians observe a Sabbath rest on, not the Sabbath, but on the Lord's Day. If you want to call it the Sabbath, you can call it the Sabbath. Just be prepared for the fight you might have when you run up against a Jewish person or a Seventh-day Adventist or something like that. So, but we celebrate the Lord's Day because in the New Testament, all the things that the Jews did, well, not all the things, the Sabbath is observed on this day. So that's an objection. We're not to keep the Sabbath because Jesus rose on the first day of the week. We're to keep the Lord's Day. Okay. I still say, creation ordinance, we need a day out of seven that we rest. And since the early church observed it on the Lord's Day, this is it. Others will say and add to this, notably John MacArthur, with whom we actually agree on almost everything, but John MacArthur takes his teaching from that wolf in sheep's clothing, John Calvin. Okay, and so you know I'm speaking tongue in cheek, okay, about people that I love, and I quote John, I often quote John Calvin. I just disagree with him on this. But I'm not sure I disagree with him. Okay, so this is what he says. I know I'm on difficult, dangerous ground here, and I'm trembling. But this is what he says. The Sabbath, he actually uses the words abrogated. The Sabbath was abrogated. Now, it's still good to reserve enough time because we need to worship on the Lord's Day. We have to worship on the Lord's Day. And to that extent, we need to observe a Sabbath rest so we are able to gather together as a church. Okay. And I believe that's where John MacArthur comes down because he quotes John Calvin at length. And I just want to add this and then say a word from Martin Lloyd-Jones about recording your sermons. Calvin lived in a particular world, the world of Geneva at the time of the Protestant Reformation. And Calvin was fighting certain battles, namely the legalism and the superstition that surrounded laws like the Sabbath. There were ways of keeping people faithful and obedient that were unholy and unwise. If you do this, then you, if you do this, and this is what you're not supposed to do, and you should never travel this far away from your home, you should never, and on the, and it was a world with so much superstition, it reminded Calvin and all the reformers of the Judaizers in the New Testament who said, if you want to be a Christian, you have to be Jewish. So don't light a fire on the Lord's Day, because then you'll be cut off, because that's the Sabbath law. Don't go beyond three lengths of, I don't know, 3/4 of a mile from your front door on the Lord's Day, because it's the Lord's Day. All these extra restrictions, and people were treating it this way in Calvin's day, and so he said, we're done with that. The important thing is worship. I'm down with that. If you live among a superstitious people, don't be superstitious about the Sabbath. The Apostle Paul, even more reliable than John Calvin, of course he is, says, therefore let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or new moon or a Sabbath. Let no one judge you according to the Sabbath. These are a shadow of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Well, I agree with that. I better agree with that. That's the apostle. But what is he saying? Carefully think about it. Let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or with regard to a festival or new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of things to come. Remember the adage, the abuse of a thing does not negate its use. Or don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? People are abusing the Sabbath. We want to do away with the abuses, but we want to keep the thing. When I was a religious studies major at IU, they told us about a religion called Jainism. And when the professor was explaining it, we all just started chuckling because it was an impossible moral code. She said, all life is important. So the most holy thing that you can do is starve to death. Wait, what? Well, yeah, because life is important. Well, that lettuce plant is alive. Who are you to say that your life is more important than the lettuce plant? So don't eat anything if it will kill the thing. So I guess you could drink milk and be okay. But you, what if you kill a bug? Okay, now look, any pro-life people here? Yeah, okay, right. Jainism would be an abuse of the affirmation of the dignity of life. But that doesn't mean that life isn't important. That doesn't mean you should go around shooting dogs in your neighborhood just because, you know, I don't want to be a Jain. Okay? Well, in the same way, people are abusing the Sabbath. That doesn't mean that the Sabbath doesn't exist. Questions of food and drink are not part of the Ten Commandments, and there are ways of keeping the Sabbath that passed away with ancient Israel. It's true. But should we go from don't pass judgment in questions of the Sabbath to there is no Sabbath? That's a bridge too far. Jesus never said to people, you guys, I'm the Sabbath. And so you don't have to rest anymore. No, he said, if your ox needs you to pull it out of a ditch, you know to do it. Help your ox. And then Jesus says, I'm helping people today. You want to help your ox, but you don't want to help people? Okay, that's the level at which Jesus fights the Jews on the Sabbath. It's not to say that there is no such thing, it's to say, stop abusing people. Make people well on the Sabbath. You circumcise boys on the Sabbath. You perform surgery. Well, you know, give them a cup of water too. We would never follow such logic anywhere else. If Paul had written, for example, don't pass judgment on each other in regard to the education of your children, a command I see great wisdom in. Homeschool, right? No? Oh, Christian school. Public school? Brought it to the public school system. And Paul would say, stop it. And I would say that too. Stop it. Stop passing judgment on each other about how you educate your children. And so someone hears that and they walk out and they say, he just said we don't have to educate our children. I'm not going to teach Billy to read. How dare you pass judgment on me? No. He didn't say stop. Stop observing the Sabbath. He said, cool your heels on judging people according to the Sabbath rest. Quit submitting everyone to extra biblical standards. The Bible doesn't say it, neither should you. Now, I want to say, I've jumped ahead on my notes here, but I want to say about Jesus. Luke 13, remember He says, you guys untie your animals and lead them to water on the Sabbath, but you don't care for people. They take care of their property, but their neighbors, not being personally profitable to them, were told to wait until tomorrow. What Jesus is getting at in the New Testament on the Sabbath is this. The Sabbath is not to be a burden.
It's to be a mark. Okay. Now,
it's a joy, not a grief. It's a day of release, not of bondage. That's why in this telling of the Ten Commandments, it's a little bit different than Exodus 20. Exodus 20 was about creation. Deuteronomy 5 says, remember, what? You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Now, in the New Testament church, there were slaves. In our church, there are employees. And depending on your job, you might say, what's the difference between slaves and employee? You know, fair point, maybe. But not everybody is equally free in regard to the time that they spend. Paul is never admonishing people in the New Testament about not resting on the Lord's day, because probably a lot of them didn't have that option. You might not feel that you have that option. If you are able to win your freedom, then do it. If you can get a job that doesn't require you to work on the Sabbath, on the Lord's day, boy, do it. So that your time is unrestricted. Because what will happen is, when you start giving yourself to other things on the Lord's day, those things will grow. We've noticed that, well, we've noticed for a long time, music has taken over on Sunday. Nothing better than to have taken an afternoon, you know, play in the park or a concert or a hockey game in Cleveland. You know, if you join travel league or something like that, and soon your whole Sunday is getting ready to go and getting back from, and there's no rest. There's no rest. That's taking on bondage, more bondage, because now you're committing yourself to things 7 days a week, and then plus we got to squeeze in church. Well, if you're just squeezing in church, is it more holy? Is it less legalistic to go to a church with a short sermon? Because after all, I mean, the Sabbath is no more, right? We're free. We're free to bind ourselves to mowing the lawn and doing work and going to making a little bit more money on the Sabbath. So, you know, we want to act like free people, so we tie ourselves in knots and bind up our schedule as tight as we can, and we're not free anymore. And you can call it soccer, and you can call it basketball, or you can call it McDonald's. I worked at McDonald's for a while. Everybody who's ever heard me preach on the Sabbath has heard this. But some of you haven't. So I worked at McDonald's my senior year of high school, and there was like a four-month stretch where I didn't get to worship. Now, I could have asked off. That's fair. But I didn't. And so there are people who say, who reason this way, well, I'm going to rest, and so I'm not going to cook. But if you don't cook and you go to a restaurant, somebody had to open that restaurant. Somebody didn't get to worship. So even taking what Calvin says, that as a practical consideration, we need to guard this time just because we need to worship, it amounts to about the same thing. We need to make time. Well, we don't really need to make time. We need to take the time that's been given to us. You've been given a day where you can set it aside for worship and for rest. Still, we are so backward that rest feels like slavery to us, some of us. We hear God's free gift, and our instinct is to despise anything we don't pay for. So if I'm not sweating, it must not be worthwhile. If I'm not straining, I'm not doing anything good. Thank you, Lord, but I couldn't possibly let you pay for the meal and leave the tip. So this is where we get to Jesus. God's mercy is an insult to our pride. Not only because we'd rather consider ourselves good enough, or because we love our sin too much to think of it as sin, but because we love to be able to point at what we have done ourselves. What'd you do today? Woe to that man who says, I rested. Do you know this tension? What'd you do today? Boy, you don't want to say not much. Because then they'll have a list as long as your arm. And then your worth and their worth. You took a nap, you're nothing. I mowed the lawn, cut the hay, milked the cows, butchered the sheep, or whatever. I don't know what you're doing. But I've done things. Well, good for you. God commands you to rest. Rest in Him. God commands you to rest on the sacrifice of Jesus. How are you going to get to heaven? I trust in Christ. That's it. That's it. If I try to do anything else to win my salvation, I'm insulting what Jesus has done for me. Jesus paid my debt. He earned my righteousness. What else is there for me to contribute? Just to offer up gratitude and praise and thank Him and rest in Him and cease. And so He's given us a sign of that in the Sabbath. So the Sabbath helps us remember creation. The Sabbath helps us remember that we have been saved out of bondage. Just like the Israelites were saved out of Egypt, we are saved out of sin and death and the wrath of God. Now, some of you are still probably not convinced. I want to make one more illustration from parenthood. Rest makes us feel like we're not earning our keep, but think of it this way. You have children who need to be restrained physically because they're so exhausted, they are at the point of insanity, and they resist sleeping by flinging arms and legs around, grabbing every little thing, and busying themselves frantically because they are afraid of the coming sleep. Well, what do you do as a parent when you have a kid like that? Anybody ever have a kid like that? I've had 5 of them like that, so I'm raising your hand for you if you haven't, okay? What do they got to do? They got to hold still. Right, so the thing that the loving father or mother does is hold their arms, get their legs still, and hold still and wait. Or my favorite story, we were in the car once, and one of our kids was grumpy, and complaining, and how much longer? And my wife said, put your blanket over your head and sing. Foom. Sleep came. Okay, look. It works. God has made a day of the week where He has bound us. Okay, not because He's put us in handcuffs, but He's wrapped us in our blanket. And He said, take it easy. Think about what I've done for you. Rest in Me. And He said, hold still. He makes it a command. And I don't know about some of you. Some of you observe the Sabbath day, the Lord's day like I do. I can't imagine not doing it anymore. We get a day of peace and rest. Well, I got to get the oil change. I can do that tomorrow. When I was in college, you know, finding out about the Sabbath. Well, I got to study. No, I don't have to study today. It did mean that I had to study all the harder the other 6 days. Work is part of the Sabbath command. But having worked, God says, I'll provide for you. So what should we do? Well, you know, some people make the snarky comment that it doesn't mention wives. Did you notice that? You are not to do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male and female servant. And so they say, yeah, wives don't get the day off. You still got to cook and clean and do all your, yeah. I think probably what's going on there is the you includes the wives. But also, there are things that you do have to do. Jesus even admitted to such, and He told them such and such, and you still have to do things on this Sabbath day. You still have to feed the family. Young children have to be dressed. Infants have to be changed. Words must still be thrown at husbands, and wives need to be caught and embraced sometime between dusk and dawn. There are things we have to do. You got to love each other. You got to care for each other. You have to wash your hair. You can imagine somebody saying, I don't even clean myself on the Lord's Day. I rest so much. But, you know, be kind to other people around you. This morning, in fact, I had violated this commandment because for 6 days I thought, I'm not going to make my wife do this because she's busy with other things. It was a really distracting week and we had a lot going on. I'll clean the church. So, you know, Friday comes along, well, I can do that Saturday. Saturday came along, well, there's a lot of other things to do and a lot of distractions. So Saturday night, oh no. So I didn't know this, but it's always a possibility. There are diapers back there that have been used. There aren't anymore because I woke up and I reasoned, I could rest on the Lord's Day. Or I could be merciful to everybody who comes through that door. And so I came in early and I took out the diaper. I had to look up how to change a diaper genie because it's been a while. It was easy. It was no problem. Did I violate the commandment? Well, no, because I was being merciful to you. An honest mistake. And you can judge me or not, but then I'll point to Paul and say, Paul said, there are 6 days in which to throw out dirty diapers. So number one, don't make it such a burden that you starve or you offend everybody around you. Love each other with the Sabbath. Don't make people make your hamburger if you can help it. But plan ahead to enjoy a day of rest. And I want to give this principle. I haven't read this anywhere. Okay, so if there's something evil in what I say, you bite your tongue, but then tell me to delete it from this recording. Here's a principle. Jesus says, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. And what he said was, God didn't rest on the Sabbath day from creation until Jesus came. And then he started working 7 days a week. He said, my Father is working and I myself am working. What kind of work is he doing? He's caring for people. And we understand that when God rested on that seventh day, he rested from particular work, which was the work of creation. But he didn't stop doing things on the seventh day, because the world endured, right? All things are upheld by the word of his power. So he's upholding the world. And the Jews even recognize people die and people are born on the Sabbath. God's still providing. God is still taking care of. So there are things that we do on the Lord's Day that amount to the taking care of things. We want to maximize our rest, but don't worry about it if you have to feed the baby, if you have to start the crock pot, if you have to chop vegetables, if you have to discipline your son, there are things that you have to do that fall under the camp of providence and taking care of necessary things. Don't worry about those things. But what you want to do is give your time to resting in the Lord. Resting. My question for those who don't is, why not? Jesus has given his life for you. You won't give a day to him. Has Jesus died for you and you have said, well, thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, finally, unlike the Jews, I can have a day and not think about you. Just like all the other days. You are not less free to think about the Lord than the Jews. You are more free. Jesus does fulfill the Sabbath. It's a reminder, then, of what he has done, of the freedom and rest that we find in Jesus. Get rid of your anxiety by resting a day. And just know, I can't do anything. I have to rest. I have to think about the peace I found in Christ. You also should consider, you ought to want to rest, and there are practical ways to make this happen. I think the crock pot is one of the greatest inventions of mankind. Now, if you don't do crock pots, it's fine. I'm not judging. I'm just giving you an example. Conspire to make the Lord's Day easier. Bend all your energies for 6 days on saying when the sun comes up on the Lord's Day, I can say, ah, at last. Why not? Be eager to give your time to God. If under the shadowy old covenant a day was set apart for him, does it follow that experiencing a greater salvation, we surrender no time except the shortest possible church service? And by body language, I can see that you have not done that today. This is not the shortest possible service. Does it make us less? Okay, I already said it. Is there really no value you can see to setting aside extended time to reflect, to remember the great salvation Jesus has won for us? So, there is a Sabbath. It was made for you. You get to rest. And in Christ, you have the freedom to plot for how you're going to rest. If I see smoke coming out of your chimney, I'm not going to come knock on your door and say, you're not resting. If I see you taking garbage out of your house on the Lord's Day, I'm not going to say, That's what Paul is getting at. We're not laying down specific restrictions, but we're saying, God made you a day off. He gave you a worship service at the beginning. In our church, you have worship services in the evening. Why won't you take it?